You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello once again, everyone. We're so glad that you are continuing to be with us here at ICS Church. If it is your very first time, my name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a joy, always a joy for us to have you with us. Hey, we've been doing a series this past couple of weeks called Disciple Nations, and we've had guest speakers come and bring the word. So again, I want to acknowledge and thank Pastor Abe, Dr. Fidel, Dr. Jay and Pastor Justin for bringing the word, and of course, our very own Pastor Sam. And if you miss any of those messages the past Sundays, please go to our YouTube page, go to our YouTube channel, and have a look back and listen in. I know it's going to be an encouragement to you and challenge as well, reminding us of what needs to be our priority. Here at ICS Church, we believe that it is so important to do what we do. You know, we believe in making disciples and supporting workers in making disciples, not just here through ICS Church, but with our partner organizations and with workers all around the world. And you say, why is that so important? Why would we set aside time to talk about this? I believe it's because it was important to Jesus. It was something that he prioritized in his life, and before he ascended to heaven, reminded us as his disciples and later on as the church that needs to be our priority. So today, as we conclude this series, the title of the message is, It's Now Up to Us. Come on, say that with me. It's now up to us. Point to the person beside you if there's somebody sitting there and say, hey, it's now up to you. It's now up to you. How many of you guys are multitaskers? Meaning, you know, you're going to be a multitasker and accomplish things, or you can be a multitasker and not accomplish anything at all. I'm the second kind, right? I try to multitask, but I realized I'm not as effective in multitasking, all because of the process of prioritizing. See, you need to know how to prioritize if you're going to be an effective multitasker. My wife, on the other hand, I believe is a pretty good and effective multitasker. You know, when she sets in doing things in a day that, you know, she sets a deadline on, she sets goals on, she ends up accomplishing those things. Sometimes, you know, it would go past midnight, but she will end up fulfilling what she set as her goals to be. Not so with me. And I realized that, you know, I could probably do at most two, three, or more things well within the day. And I have to do them one at a time, because if I try to do it all at the same time, you know, some things don't end up being done and some things don't end up being done well. So kudos to you guys who are effective multitasker and who do it so well. Prioritizing is what's important. And one of the things that I've learned when it comes to prioritizing is this idea: doing what is most important requires perseverance, understanding, and trust. You know, we've really got to push through it, even when we sometimes feel like giving up, and a clarity and understanding of actually the task that needs to be done, and trusting that the one who gave us a task, or sometimes we ourselves that set the goal for ourselves, is something that is trustworthy and we're convinced that needs to be done. So in many ways, this principle needs to be applied as well when it comes to prioritizing what we need to do as individuals, as disciples, and as a church that obeys and follows Jesus. A lot of time we want to know, you know, what's the plan? I mean, there's so many things happening in the world today. What should I do as a disciple? What should I do as a church? What are some things that are more important? Because a lot of things are important, but there are some things that are most important that we need to be focusing on. You know, this past couple of weeks, we've been busy as a church, in our circles, and as individuals, in praying and providing relief to those who experience recent natural disasters here in Luzon. And that is important. And we should do that. But towards the end of the day, is there something that is actually more important than that? And the answer is yes, there is. And we need to remind ourselves constantly of this, not just in times like these, but every day of our life until Jesus returns. And so we're going to look at a passage that reminds us what this is. Jesus is talking to his disciples, telling them, instructing them, reminding them, giving them final instructions to say, hey guys, if there's going to be a priority, make sure that these become the priorities. Luke 24 is our passage today. Luke is a doctor by profession, and he goes about investigating the stories about Jesus and the life of the early church. And here in Luke 24 is a passage where Jesus had just resurrected from the dead. And so disciples are excited, they're partying, they're rejoicing, and some of them couldn't even believe it. I mean, is this even real, or is this our imagination? Is he a ghost, or is he really here in person? He's really back from the dead. And so in chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus proves to them. He shows to them his wounds, and still not being convinced of this, because they were just, man, this is amazing, is this even real? He decides, you know what, I'm hungry, you guys have anything to eat? And they give him broiled fish. Come on. How many of you guys love fish? Healthy eating? Hey, Jesus apparently ate healthily. And so he ate broiled fish, proving to them, guys, I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't eat food and they don't get hungry. So Jesus got hungry. You know, if you've been dead for 3 days, probably I'd be hungry too. And so resurrecting from the dead, he ate fish. What did he eat after he resurrected from the dead? Trivia. Fish is what he ate. And so he eats, and then he gives them these instructions. Here in verse 44 is where we begin. He says here, everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms have to be fulfilled. He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. Now, everything that he mentioned, that was the Jewish Bible. That is the Old Testament part of our current Bible today. And he's saying, hey, all of these things, the prophecies about the Messiah, about the Savior, again, I want to remind you guys, these had to be fulfilled. And so part of that is what just happened this past few days. And then he says here, he went on to open their understanding of the Word of God. He said, you can see how it is written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day. That is just what happened. And then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations. Now, this has not yet happened. He says, starting from here, from Jerusalem. This is the city where they were in right now. But obviously, all the nations is not found in Jerusalem. There were many nations that were there, but not all the nations of the world were there. He said, beginning here, this good news, the forgiveness of sins, that I came to this earth so that this would be made possible, will be preached beginning here and throughout all the nations. You guys, talking to the disciples, are the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses, right? Because they saw it for themselves. What comes next is very important. For many of them, it's probably like, man, there's something better than this. I mean, this is already pretty exciting. If this was a movie, right, where the hero towards the end of the movie dies and people are discouraged, they're sad, and it seems hopeless, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, man, he's alive. Come on, man. You know, we're going to celebrate. This should have been the end of the movie. This should have been the end of the story. But Jesus said, you know what? Something else is coming along. What? What could be better than this? And then he goes on. He says, I am sending what my Father promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high. And we fast forward, of course, this is all about the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus that enabled him to do what he did would be sent to the disciples, empower the church, and give birth to the church to continue what Jesus started to do when he was here. I mean, how could that be better than Jesus coming from the dead? I know, right? I mean, it's hard. It's probably not better than that, but apparently there was a sequel. to that, right? For those of us who love following movies and sequels, man, there was a sequel to the resurrection of our Savior. And that was the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ and the start of the church and continuing the mission that Jesus started. And that, my friends, is our priority. That has to be our priority as disciples. Here, when Jesus was saying this, the church had not yet been born. He was just talking to the disciples. But the moment the Holy Spirit comes, the birth of the church begins, and the mission that Jesus started in making disciples and talking about the kingdom of God and calling people to be his followers continues on in the life of the church. This becomes now our task. And so we know that this is important. Why? Because the gospel writers, people who wrote about the life of Jesus Christ, repeated it in their own accounts. Matthew talks about it in Matthew chapter 28. He says, go and make disciples, quoting Jesus, talking to his disciples after his resurrection. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the good news. Again, this is after Jesus' resurrection. And John, his own statement, he quotes Jesus saying, hey, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to go and make disciples, to go and preach the gospel. Making disciples across the street or around the world is the priority of every disciple and the church that professes to believe and to follow Jesus Christ. And so if you're wondering, hey, what should I prioritize? When you wake up in the morning, when you go to work, when you go to school, as you go to different parts of the world, guys, this needs to be our priority. Making disciples needs to be our priority. Whether it is across the street or it is around the world, this needs to be our priority. But how many of you guys know that, you know, again, sometimes because we get overwhelmed at times of the needs around us, we want to respond to everything, the priority sometimes gets pushed back, pushed away, you know? And so we need to learn how to find out what is most important. This is a challenge, not just for us today as a church, but this was a challenge even during the time of the disciples. You know, Jesus had not yet ascended into heaven, and they were already asking about it. And so we fast forward to the book of Acts. This is the second volume of Luke's writing. Luke is also the writer of Acts, which is the story of the birth of the church. And here in Acts 1, beginning with verse 6, the disciples were there one last time. It says here, when they were together for the last time with Jesus, before Jesus ascends to heaven, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now is this the time? So again, whoa. Jesus just gave them an instruction. Guys, you're going to be talking about the good news of salvation from Jerusalem to the nations. But the disciples apparently were more interested in some of the matters because there were prophecies related to the restoration of the political kingdom of Israel. And so they thought, maybe this is it. And so Jesus says, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business with regards to that matter. But here's what's going to happen. You'll get the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, again, he repeats it, what he already said earlier, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So he repeats it. When something is repeated, we know that this is important. You know, before somebody leaves or when somebody's on their deathbed and it says, you know what, I just want to remind you of this one last thing. Usually remember that. And usually what they say is pretty important. And so for Jesus to repeat this before he eventually ascends to heaven and physically disappears from our sight, their sight, we need to take heed and listen in. Jesus' last command needs to be our first priority. Not just a priority, but it needs to be first in our list of priorities. And that is making disciples across the street or around the world. So how do we do this? Because we are prone to get distracted. We are prone to focus on things that are of less importance. It's not that they're not important, but when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to doing what the church needs to be doing, it may not be as important as what Jesus commands. So how do we address these issues? One, we need to understand and learn about distractions. We need to identify what distractions are so that we don't miss what is most important. And distractions, you know, come in all the time. You know, sometimes I like cooking. I like cooking and I've grown to love cooking. But sometimes, you know what? While I'm cooking, you see, I have to wait for the food to cook. I get distracted by what I'm looking at on my phone. You know, I pick up my phone and start watching something and, you know, it pulls me in, you know, and in a while I start to smell something that's burning and I'm thinking, you know, is somebody cooking something? And I realize I'm cooking something, right? But at that point it's like, oh, too late. It's now burnt. And we get distracted by so many things, even when it comes to following Jesus and doing what we need to do as a church, that we forget the priority needs to be disciple making. So as much as it's important for us to be able to meet the needs, the physical needs of the people around us, we should never forget to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as relief is extended to those who are in need, those who are extending that need, who are followers of Jesus Christ, need not to forget to offer to pray, to offer to share the message of Jesus. Why? Because physical needs, temporal needs will last for a moment. But our spiritual needs, when met by Jesus, will last for eternity. And we need to remember that that needs to be the primacy of what we do as disciples and as a church. We need to, again, not to be distracted by self-centeredness. All of us have needs. Yes, Jesus understood this. In fact, before he died and resurrected, he said, you know what, guys, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your needs, but make my kingdom your priority, my message, my purpose, and your needs, I'm going to meet. And in fact, he was saying, you know what, if you prioritize what is important to me, you don't even have to pray about it. That need is already going to be met. Why? Because you're putting importance to what's important to me. Of course, I'm going to take care of you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You know, you're more important than the grass. You're more important than the birds. Of course, I'm going to meet your needs. So again, getting our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus and what's important to him and what he's commanded enables us to maintain focus on what is most important. At the same time, scriptural ignorance disallows us from knowing what's important. If we don't know the scriptures, if we don't know what Jesus has taught, if we don't know what he said about times and seasons, we can get distracted by all kinds of teachings, all kinds of doctrines, rather than prioritizing on what he says. Or even if we don't know scriptures itself, we definitely won't know what we should prioritize. And finally, just simply plain disobedience. When we choose to disobey, it's like the boss coming in and saying, hey, you know what, I see you're busy today, but can you please make this a priority? And it gives us an assignment to do. But you know what, sometimes you're so focused on what you're doing right now and you say to yourself, okay, I'll say yes to my boss, but I need to finish this. And we end up focusing on that and totally forgetting what our boss asked us to do as a priority. Then he comes back and says, hey, have you finished what I asked you to do? And we're like, oh man, sorry, boss, I forgot. And then we get in trouble, right? Because of it. So just plain direct disobedience does not allow us to put importance on what Jesus has said needs to be our priority. Focusing on less important matters makes us miss what matters most. And so let's learn to identify those things so that we can focus on what matters most. So the next question is asked, why is this important? I'm glad you're asking that question, right? Why is this important? Well, it's important because, first of all, it's important to Jesus. Jesus made disciples. That's what he did when he was on earth. So if it was an important thing for Jesus, then it should be important to us as well. Did Jesus respond to physical needs? Yes, he did, right? He prayed for those who were sick. He healed those who were blind, right? He multiplied food to feed many who were hungry. But the priority was talking about the kingdom of God and calling people to repentance, right? To follow him and to disciple people towards the kingdom. That is what's most important. So this needs to be important to us as well because it was important to Jesus. Secondly, some things will not happen unless we do our part. This is important because some things will not happen in the world today, in God's agenda, unless we do our part. See, God chooses to work with us, His disciples, the church. How do we know this? Well, it's what Jesus said, right? Jesus, before He died and resurrected, was talking to His disciples in Matthew 24 about the end. You know, some of us who are interested in when the end will come, right? We should read this. We should remind ourselves of this. Because in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about it. He talked about what was to come towards the end. And he said, you know, disciples came up to Him in chapter 24 of Matthew, and He says, tell us, when will all this happen? When will the end come? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? And so Jesus says, well, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be famines, there's going to be wars, there will be false teachers, false prophets, people who claim to be Me, people who claim to be the Messiah, the Savior, right? All of these things will happen. And, you know, we look at the world today, those things are happening, right? There are earthquakes, there are famines, there's plagues, there's wars, there's false teachers, false prophets. But then He says one final thing in this statement. He says in verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. Wait, has that happened yet? I don't think so. And experts tell us that hasn't happened yet. And the good news about the kingdom of God will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Wait, so that's part of the ingredient, really? Preaching to the nations? Yes. That's one of the things. That's one of the elements for Jesus' return. That the good news of the kingdom needs to be preached to all nations. And when we say all nations, this is all ethnicities, right? That's what theologians tell us. That's what Bible experts tell us. And most likely, right now, apparently, it has not yet been accomplished. So that's part of our task. God is expecting us, His disciples, the church, to do this. And so if you want Jesus to come sooner, hey, come on, man, we got to get busy in preaching and telling the good news about Jesus Christ and about His kingdom, not just where we live, but even in nations that have not yet heard about Jesus Christ. And, you know, there are many nations that are like that. Christmas is coming around the corner. And in many nations around the world, you know what they've done? They've adopted this tradition. And so you see Christmas trees. You even hear Christmas carols singing songs about Jesus Christ. And yet you ask the people in that nation, hey, do you know what Christmas is about? And they say, yeah, it's a holiday in the West, right? This and that. And he said, no, it's actually about the birth of Jesus. Really? It's about that. And they're surprised. Why? Because nobody has told them, right? It's just been adopted as a form of commercialism to encourage tourists from the West and people from these nations who are not necessarily Christian nations to say that, hey, it is Christmas. And that's happening. Many countries around Asia, many countries around the world. And we need people to go there. God needs us, His disciples, His church, to go and tell them about this good news. So the other question related to this would be, why is then taking so long? Why is it taking so long? Well, I can tell you right now, because people who follow Jesus have not gone to those places, right? There are nations in the world today that are still waiting for somebody to go to them and actually explain to them the good news. You know, in fact, I hear stories all the time. When we were in Thailand, there were people who were coming to that nation from other countries who had dreamt, who had received dreams about Jesus, but they did not understand who He was. And so they asked around in their own country, but because they did not know any other Christians in these countries that were primarily unchristian nations, nobody could explain it to them. And some of these individuals ended up coming to Bangkok City and where we were serving at an international church, and they would seek out, they would come, they would find out, oh, this is a Christian church, and they would come and they would say, hey, can you explain to me this? I had this dream, and I think from your description when you guys were preaching, this is who it was that you were describing. And we end up explaining to these individuals from other nations that were hostile to Christianity that it was Jesus who appeared to them in their dreams. they would end up becoming his followers and end up saying, hey, would you baptize me? And I want to go back to my nation and tell others about this. Even with the threat to their own life, they were committed to that cause. And so we're realizing that, you know, as people are going to those nations, God is now sending people from those nations to encounter his own children through his church so that they would come to know him. So one of the reasons why it is being delayed, that Jesus' return is being delayed, it's the end is still not happening, is because people are not going to those nations. Another reason is stated here. Peter writes it. It's a question that the first century Christians encountered. Because after Jesus resurrected from the dead and he now ascended into heaven, was no longer present, they were telling people everywhere, the disciples, the apostles, the first century Christians, hey, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him. And at some point, people were saying, man, it's taken a while now. And your Jesus hasn't yet come back. Why is that? Second Peter. Peter writes it in his letter. And he says here in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. So they were already encountering this kind of question. People were already making fun of them, right? As followers of Jesus, because they were saying, hey, you guys need to follow Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. He resurrected from the dead, and he's going to come again. They're like, hey, it's a while now. It doesn't look like he's coming again soon. Why is that? Why is that? And so Peter reminds the first century Christians, you must not forget this one thing. Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. So basically, you know, God's timing is different from our timing. Right? When Jesus says he's coming back, we've got to trust and believe that he is coming back. Why? Because he's true to his word. There's not a single promise that God has made, that Jesus has made, that has not been fulfilled. So we know that we can trust him. He predicted his death and resurrection, and he did it. We know that we can trust him. But his timing is not the same as our timing. So why does he continue to delay? Peter continues, he does not want anyone to be destroyed. Or other translation says, he does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to repent. Repent means, you know, take a 180 degree turn from where they were going towards the direction of Jesus Christ. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, right? Thieves don't announce when they're coming, they just come. When you least expect it. And that is how Jesus will return again. But he will return. You can expect it. We're assured of it. Why? Because he says so. And we can trust in what he has said. But right now, according to Peter, God is wanting as many as possible to come to know him. Because he doesn't want people to perish without knowing him. And they will perish when they don't get to know Jesus Christ, when they don't hear the good news and have an opportunity to respond in faith and surrender to Jesus Christ and follow him as Lord. And you know who has that task? It is you. It is me who has that task. The reason why our family members have not come to faith in Jesus is maybe because we haven't told them. The reason why Jesus is continuing to delay his return is we have not gone to the nations. The reason why Jesus' return is delayed is because, hey, God the Father is still wanting many, as many as possible, to come to know him so that they will not be separated from his presence. This is how loving our God is. This is how gracious and merciful our God is. His timing is attached to his grace. Grace is giving to us what we do not deserve, salvation, a new life in Jesus Christ, eternity, away and apart from suffering and enjoying all that God desires for us. That is the grace that God wants for us. And we need to prioritize what Jesus prioritized so that will take place. It's not just for us. We want to thank God for salvation, but God wants more to know. Wouldn't it be better if the rest of our household and our family would enjoy eternity with us, right? Wouldn't it be better if more of our friends, instead of just us, once we're in God's presence in heaven, we realize, man, I wish that family member got to know. I wish that friend that I had, I wish that stranger who shared the problem with me, I had an opportunity to share the good news with them. The thing is, we do. And that opportunity right now rests in front of us. All we need to do is to prioritize and to walk in obedience. So what's the plan? It's very clear. The plan that we are part of is this. In review, Jesus comes to earth. He lives a sinless life. He dies. He resurrects, breaking the curse of sin and death, so that those who put their faith in Him will experience a new life and a life forevermore in His presence. When He ascends to heaven, He sends the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered Him to be effective in His ministry. He sent so that we could be effective in witnessing, in ministry to those around us. Now the task rests in our hands. It's our turn. Our part, it is to follow Jesus and tell everyone in every nation about this good news. And then, when all nations have heard, the end will come. Dot, dot, dot. Why? Because again, just like in every sequel, there is more to come. When Jesus returns, that is not the end. There is so much more things, good things, that are yet awaiting us. So how should we prioritize today? First of all, we need to follow Jesus. If you're following yourself, if you're following other people, except apart from Jesus Christ, all of it will come to nothing towards the end, right? It has to be Jesus, and Jesus alone. He needs to be number one. He needs to be at the center. Not wealth, not my own dreams, not my own vision, not my own ministry, not even my own family. No, it has to be Jesus. When He's the one that we're following, we can ensure that we are prioritizing what is most important to Him. We need to understand scriptures if we are to learn to prioritize well. Why? Because He has already given to us instructions to be able to know how to be effective in our times and seasons. He's given us insights into what is to come and into what is happening right now so that we don't end up panicking and being overwhelmed by worry. He's already said all these things. But when we don't understand scriptures, when we do not know scriptures, we can easily be deceived by our own desires, by false teachers, and by wrong teachings, you know, wrong priorities. So let's seek to understand scriptures for ourselves. Don't let just be hearers of it, but really diligent students of the Word of God and doers of the Word of God. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that will enable us to understand the things that we are learning. It is the Holy Spirit who will empower us to be effective in life, in ministry, and as witnesses for Jesus. And finally, we need to be actively witnessing for Christ, right? Active witnesses for Christ is what needs to happen in our life. That means we need to seek opportunity when opportunity opens up to tell people about Jesus Christ and the good news that He gives. I believe when we prioritize these things as disciples and as a church, we will not go wrong in what Jesus has instructed His disciples and was He expecting the church, His bride, to do until He returns. There's a lot of things that need to be done, and we should do them, but we should not neglect the most important thing, and that is to make disciples across the street or around the world. You may not be a Christian today, and you've listened to this. Now you have insights to know what is most important to us. You may be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you have been distracted, you know, the past days, weeks, maybe even years. And I pray that as you study scriptures yourself and what Jesus has taught, that you would know how to prioritize. If you want to know how to do that effectively, send us a message, because that's the reason we exist as a church today. We exist to love, disciple, and send. Love God, love people, make disciples, and make disciples. and send them to do the same. We believe God calls us to do this until Jesus returns again. And we want to be effective and obedient to what Jesus has instructed us to do. All of our needs, all of our concerns, Jesus has already covered. He has already answered. And we don't need to worry about those things. But as we prioritize what is important to Him, He will take care of us. He will lead us. He will guide us. Come on, would you join me as we pray together today and seek Him? Father, we are so grateful that You loved us so much that You would send Jesus to save us from sin and eternal separation from You. Jesus, thank You that You obey the Father, submitted Yourself out of Your love for us, gave up Your life, sacrificed Yourself, and resurrected from the dead, never to die evermore. Today, as we put our faith in You, we know that we can experience that same promise in our own life. We thank You for sending the Holy Spirit to empower us to live effective lives for You, to honor You, to walk in righteousness, and to be effective ministers and witnesses to You. It is not by our own strength, ability, or know-how, but through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can fulfill the task that You have given to us, both here and around the world. And so once again, Lord God, we submit ourselves to You. Come and lead us. Come and empower us. Fill us by Your Spirit. Remove and reorder priorities so that Your purposes will be fulfilled in our life, in our family, in our business, in our school, in every community and environment that we walk into, so that Jesus, You would be seen and heard through our life. That is our prayer, Lord. And we ask that You fulfill it in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, our commitment here at ICS Church is not just to pray for those who to fulfill God's purposes, or to go ourselves and be witnesses. We also want to commit our finances in supporting those who are doing the work of the ministry, both here at ICS Church, throughout the nation with our partners, and around the world with various workers and organizations. And so if you are wanting to make that commitment, even with your finances, we want to believe together with you that God will provide beyond what is needed so that we could support the work of the ministry. Go to ics.church/faithpromise to make that commitment. It could be a one-time gift or a year-long commitment in 2021 so that we could see the gospel go where it needs to go. God bless you, and we want to thank you so much for joining us once again today. Have a great week as you seek to follow Jesus through all of your life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.